Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 940. If you've driven down Lapeer Avenue in the last year or so, you've no doubt taken note of a big garden there, Polly's Place. Julian Ruck started this urban farming initiative a couple, 3 years ago. He's with us right now. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me again.
I appreciate you coming in this morning. I wanted to kind of get an update on what's going on there. I mean, it's one of several urban farms here in our area. You think of urban farming, you think of Detroit, for example.
Right.
We're a smaller town, but if you've got a plot of land, you can grow on it, right?
Right. Michigan's a right-to-farm state. And
what does that mean?
That means nobody can tell you you can't.
Basically, easy as that, yeah.
If you wanted to grow lettuce in your front yard and sell it, you would have to have, by the time anybody in ag got really upset about it, you'd have to have a full-scale operation, warehouses and everything,
right.
And before you need any kind of licensing. You need a license for prepared food, cottage food, but anybody can grow corn and sell it on the side of the road in the state of Michigan. And that's an untapped opportunity. And often in maybe more middle or upper class cities, they don't even bother because, you know, food is something they got figured out a long time ago.
Right.
But you mentioned Detroit has gotten world famous for it. And that's in part because they took a good hard look at their options. And they said, look, the properties are next to nothing around here. Either someone's going to come in with a bunch of money and put a big box store here, or we're going to buy this and grow food on it before they can.
Yeah.
And as you know, I spent 20 years growing up here and 20 years away, roughly. And when I came back in the past few years for family reasons, I couldn't help but noticing the struggle Port Huron's going through. And it's my feeling and others that Port Huron's actually in the worst shape it's ever been in. There's a few metrics that will say that we're at 28,000 and dropping. And you have to recognize that and look at it and go, what are our options here? And so, yeah, Polly's Place was a lot. I was gardening on a residential lot with a house about a block away from Polly's Place 3 summers ago, just getting started, getting my feet wet. Went to the city council to get them interested in urban ag zoning, really broached the topic and got it started. And then the whole time I was gardening there, I saw this lot on Lapeer for $6,000 for sale that was just being ignored. People driving over it to get over to the alley. So I fundraised, and the next summer we were growing on that lot. I felt with that frontage on Lapeer with sponsors, in some form or another, we'd be able to get our money back. And we've gotten three, fourfold. If you want to talk material, donations, everything, that initial seed money to get that property. So we're growing over 2,500 pounds this year on that lot. We grow a spring, summer, and a fall crop. And we're going to increase that by about 500 pounds every year until we reach, I think, 6,000 pounds annually, free food from that garden for the community forever.
Ooh. What kind of crops are you growing there? What do you grow at Polly's Place?
Oh man, lots of stuff. I mean, your salad fixins,
sure.
Peppers, of course, eggplant, watermelon, cantaloupe. Just this year, I've been installing a very large raised bed, which next spring we're going to plant asparagus in. It's in the alley there, so people could have access to this large permanent asparagus bed. Let's see, what else? Gosh, so many things. I grew corn last year, but the squirrels liked it. And I'd rather than cover the corn and fight the squirrels. I was like, well, we're going to do something different.
Now, do you operate this as a nonprofit? Do you have nonprofit status? Do you do this for profit? Are you selling the things? How does that all work?
Okay, so nothing gets sold. We have a fundamental commitment to the produce being free. The plants being free as well. So we give away seedlings and stuff too. as far as funding it, you know, we live in a modern age. The question is, like, there's 100 ways to fund something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a Patreon account that gets $40 a month. When we need something that I didn't expect, I'll post on Facebook, you know, here's my Venmo, blah, blah, blah. I'm just very transparent. And most, about a third of the support, it comes in from my own pocket, a third from locals, we're talking just monetarily, and then a third from people online. And in my 20 years away, as you know, I did a lot of music and music events. So something I think people far from the project may not recognize is I have friends and associates and business partners in Portland, Fargo, Chico, California, New Orleans, Tucson, Paducah, watching. And periodically, there are people I've met in various Facebook groups who just like what we're doing and will send me money. Now, that has been up until now.
Uh-huh.
So now that we have our methodology in place,
right,
and we want to grow into the neighborhood, we're starting Harrison Point City Initiative.
Okay.
Which is a nonprofit specifically for the 50-block neighborhood of Harrison Point. And our goal is basically to make that community more self-reliant in a way to resist some of the gentrification that might be coming down the line. And to basically, people who've been in the same houses for generations, we want to make sure generations from now, their great-grandkids are still there,
mm-hmm,
or have that option. So one of the first things we're going to be doing in the spring is offering free garden installs to anyone in that neighborhood. And then whatever they don't consume from that garden, we'll buy it. And then when we buy it with the nonprofit, we'll process it into dried packaging, into soups, salsas, pickled items, and then sell those items as the nonprofit, so the money goes right back into putting in free gardens.
You just mentioned something that kind of leads into my next question, because a lot of people don't know how to prepare fresh food. I mean, it's just it's something they haven't been taught. They don't know how to make a soup or a salsa or a salad or what to do with that pound of asparagus that they get. How do you teach people what to do with this produce once they get their hands on it?
It's a great question. I mean, I grew up here, so I know, you know, the lack of education there is around, you know, health food in this community historically anyway. And so I actually built an outdoor kitchen at the garden with a pizza firing cob oven and an outdoor grill. And I built that so when someone says, well, how do I cook eggplant? I can literally just walk over and show them, so we can have cookouts where we get right from the garden. And that's part of what I did in my time away, was study permaculture for my own personal self. I thought one day I'm going to tour music and play music, and then one day I'm going to have my homestead and goodbye world. And when I saw how things are around here, and during COVID I couldn't do music, I thought, well, maybe now it's time to put that permaculture stuff out front.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural building, Cobb, I've studied Cobb for 20 years. I've been involved in building projects around the country with that.
And what is that?
It's similar to adobe.
Okay.
It's basically the same ingredients, sand, straw, and clay.
Okay.
But you mix it in a sculptable way. Adobe, you take those ingredients and you put them out in a wood frame, and then the sun dries it into bricks, and then you build with bricks.
Hmm.
What I love about Cobb is it's for the artist. You could make your Cobb oven in the shape of anything you want, so long as the inside has certain parameters met. So ours is in the shape of a volcano that I'll be growing flowers out of, like red flowers for the lava, blue flowers for the river around the volcano. I've also done a much larger one in the shape of a turtle coming out of the water, you know. So I love it for the art, and that's, I think, what we put a lot of focus on at Polly's Places is curb appeal. Razzle dazzle. We have an art piece in the middle that next summer will become a scavenger hunt for the whole garden, where people can play it with their phone and learn how to garden through the process of playing the game. So we're really trying to get as much possible value, education, access to food, even just benches where you can just come and sit in the garden for a second.
Yeah.
You know,
what's the reaction been from the neighborhood? What do people say, you know, when they stop by Polly's Place?
There are three. Well, OK, there's one individual, one drunk guy who stumbled across the property yelling at me some time ago. He was mad. If I did this, the city would be da 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 da. And I said, well, don't worry, they are. And I'm doing it anyway. And he's just one dude. But other than that, and other than the expected resistances you might have in any community doing something new, everybody has been full bore on board. We have, I know one gentleman, I brought him up a few times because, you know, we feed he and his daughters, and he's currently trying to transition from working for Mterra to being a CDL driver. And that transition financially has been difficult for them. So he's there all the time. And I call him up when I got something good at the garden, come down with your girls, right? There's a recovery house near to us. So I always prioritize the women in that house too. Look at this really big cabbage. It's all yours. People pop in. I give away 4 or 5 bags, 10, 15 pound bags of produce every day. Somebody drove from Battle Creek last week.
Wow.
To check it out. Somebody's drove from Davison a few months ago because they wanted advice of how to deal with their township politics. Mm-hmm. And they came to talk to me. The guy that came from Battled Creek, now his parents are going to buy him a lot in the UP where he can do what I've shown him how to do. And he's still messaging me for more information. You know, a lot can be done with one person. And now we're installed at Polly's place. I could not show up at all next year. Somebody could just walk out there, randomly throw seeds in all directions, and it would grow because of the no-till regenerative practices we're using.
Yeah, how many people do you have working on this?
I do about 95% of the labor, okay. But it's I'm okay with that because too many chefs in the kitchen can be a problem. And when people come to the garden, there's a saying, don't chase butterflies, tend your garden and they'll come to you. And that's been kind of my mantra with this. I'm not out here trying to get all the volunteers I can get. If people pull up because they were compelled to. If they say, I drive by it 10 times and today I had to pull over and talk to you, there's a reason. And I'd rather get to know that person. And so we get that very frequently. Some days I don't get to the gardening tasks that need to be done because I'm having that meet and greet with strangers who pull over all day. So
we had our first really cold morning of the season today, and it's just a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Things are going to be probably slowing down, grinding to a halt pretty soon at Polly's place?
I don't think so.
No?
We just changed form.
Okay.
Gardening, permaculture, year-round, no-till gardening. There's a premise between no-till and regenerative agriculture that you have to keep the beds busy. You want to keep something in there at all times growing, and you also want to keep the beds covered to prevent erosion. And this builds soil activity, keeps things vibrant and fresh, and makes it easy for the plants to become robust. We don't use any pesticides. We don't use any irrigation. We don't need to. Plants are robust. They get down to the water table just fine with our heavy mulch. And so this winter, I've already seeded a bunch of kale, and there's some spinach out, and then also winter wheat. And what will happen, we're planting that as a cover crop. So in the spring, when the winter wheat's not ready to harvest, but is about 3-4 feet tall, we'll cut it down, chop and drop, and it will be the mulch in that bed for the upcoming season.
Okay.
And so that's how you keep, because basically when you take a tomato, it's a law of return. When you take that tomato and you eat it, you're eating nutrients from the soil. And you have to put those nutrients back somehow. So if you keep cover cropping in between your more summer crops, you're good. You don't need to do any.
Interesting.
And actually, you're getting excess. Yeah. What a lot of people don't understand is even the best soil scientists in the world admit we only understand 10% of what's happening under our feet. And I thought we figured this out 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, still learning.
We're so much to go. Yeah. So the general rule is just keep adding stuff. Your own backyard, leaves, grass clippings, cardboard, paper shreddings. Mm-hmm. Just make a garden bed out of it.
There you go. If people want to connect with you, with Polly's Place, they want to learn more about what's going on there, contribute or something, what's the best way
to people to do Facebook is great. Yeah. My name, Julian Ruck, JulianRuck. Polly's Place also has a like page. First Church of Music on YouTube. RuckAtash, Ruckatash on TikTok. First Church of Music on Patreon. But also, just pull in. If you see me there, I'm ready for a conversation at any time.
All right. Well, good luck. It was nice catching up with you, Julian.
It's always great, Paul. Thanks.
Julian Rock with us on WPHM. 5 minutes now before 10 o'clock.